Last night with our kids, we watched a classic Christmas movie. We were talking about Christmas movies earlier. I am Team Elf, but if I have to pick a classic older one, I love that Charlie Brown Christmas special. And that's what we watched last night at our house, which was just fantastic. It's getting close to 60 years old, which I found out. I looked it up. I'm like, when was this written? But here's the thing. Charlie Brown, as you know, if you're familiar with it, he is on a quest throughout the episode to decide what is it that Christmas is all about. In fact, when he finally gets overwhelmed, he's like, it's not about the gifts. It's not about my dog decorating his house for the Christmas competition. It's not about this Christmas pageant. It's not about great Christmas trees. What's it about? And he finally says, what is Christmas? Can anyone tell me what is Christmas is all about? And then Linus reads from the Bible, and he really recites from the Bible, from Luke chapter 2, which is actually the passage, incidentally, that we're going to look at this morning as we celebrate Christmas Eve and prepare our hearts for the coming of our Savior, which we celebrate this season. I think just like in Charlie Brown's Christmas, our culture has only gone more and more in that direction where we no longer know what the reason is that we celebrate during this time of year. We lose track of it. And there's a lot of other good things that we're doing. I think giving gifts to one another can be good, and having cheer and just goodwill towards people, that's very good. But sometimes we lose the sense of why we're actually celebrating during the Christmas season. So let's do exactly what Linus did. Let's go back to the text and look at what the meaning of this time of year truly is. The context here is that there's a census. Mary and Joseph, they're engaged. Mary is found to be pregnant with a child, though she is a virgin, and the angel has announced that to her and to Joseph, and they are going back to Bethlehem because they're registering for the census from their town of origin. And so that's where Joseph needed to take his family. And so that's where they're heading. They end up finding no space in any of the inns or any of the guest rooms that are available in the town. And there's a lot you could look at as to why that is. We don't really know the final answer. It could be that the story of their questionable circumstances have reached Bethlehem ahead of them, and people are not being hospitable because of their story. And so we don't know exactly what's going on, but there is what happens there. They end up in a stable. The baby Jesus is born and laid in a manger, as we all know. And at that point, the announcement of his royal birth is given in Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. There's four things I want to share this morning. Christmas is all about these four things, and really it all feeds from this first one. Christmas is all about good news for all people. The shepherds are out in their field. They hear an announcement from heaven, from the angels. It says in verse 10, the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." So there's two parts to this. There's good news. What is being said here in the original language is the idea, it carries with it the idea of an announcement of good news or a proclamation of good news. A king may actually send messengers out to a far out reaches of their territory with good news when they come into power. They send out a gospel, a good news, an announcement, a proclamation to the edges of their kingdom, letting them know that there's good news. But a lot of times that good news was only good news for some of the people, not all of the people. And in this case, it's announced right there that it is good news for all people, for all people. So it's good news, but it's also good news for all people, which is a really important part of the Christmas story, that we are talking about news that can be good news for anyone who hears it and decides to believe it and put their faith and trust in it. So it's for all people. It's demonstrated, this idea of it being for all people is actually demonstrated in the very act that we're seeing play out. Because this announcement, it's a royal birth announcement of God come down from heaven to earth, to his creation. And it's, you think about royal announcements and what you might expect that to look like. Usually those things are done in palaces or on big stages in front of lots and lots of people. There's all the important people, all the important places, all the important things that are involved. And in this case, this very first announcement of God coming to earth, the Messiah that's been long awaited coming to earth, is being given to a group of night shift shepherds watching their sheep. This is about the least expected place. It's the most obscure place that could be expected for an announcement like this to go. Just like the whole story. I mean, like we've already covered very briefly in our review, that this baby was born in a stable and laid in a manger. I mean, this is not a palace. This is not a throne. This is not, just widely publicized, people coming from all around. People did come, but they had to be paying attention. And it's almost all done in obscurity, which just shows us the value of God's heart. That this is good news, and it's not just good news for the elite. It's not just good news for the rich or for the powerful. It's good news for all people. It's good news for all people. Shepherds were considered to be ceremonially unclean. They were excluded from the culture and Jewish culture for many ways because of that. They were considered even untrustworthy. Oftentimes their testimony was impermissible in the court of law. They were not considered to be trustworthy. They were really the lowest in the cultural pecking order. And it demonstrates for us that this announcement, this good news, is for all people. And sometimes I think as human beings, it's natural. We despise the idea of being in the lowest station, but God cares about the condition of our hearts, not the role that we play. And sometimes, like we were just trying to teach children up here, we can also learn from children in this. Go ahead and check out this video. You may have seen this before, but I just loved it. I want to share it with you.
Guess what I am for the nativity? I'm a classic one.
Classic role, is it? Classic part?
Yeah.
Joseph?
No.
One of the three wise men?
No.
But it's a classic part?
Yeah.
Okay, you tell me then, because...
I'm door holder number three, I'll be holding doors.
That's amazing! Holding doors for who?
Probably Joseph and Mary.
Oh my gosh, were you pleased when they said that?
Yeah, and I was like, I'm a door holder, get in there, let's go, yes.
Whoa!
And maybe because there's no room, I'll probably be just there, be like just coming in, and then I'll just slam the door in their face.
Is that your star role?
I'll have to wear like brown.
Really?
Yeah, probably.
Excellent. That's really smart, Milo.
Milo, my guy. This kid is just so psyched. First of all, he's got a great accent. And he's so psyched about his role. Door holder number three, I'll be holding doors. Thank you very much. And he's ready to get in there and do it. I just love that. And he thinks that's a classic role in the nativity. That's, hey, good for him. Whatever you got to tell yourself. But the reality is that it doesn't matter what role we play. It's the condition of our heart. Are we ready to step into it? What is our station in life? God does not care about your title. He does not care about your earthly wealth. He cares about the condition of our hearts. That's what he cares about. And as he announces this good news for all people, it's on a totally different scale of what his economy is versus what our world is operating in. And he shows us that this is, in fact, good news for all people, available to every single person. Jesus is coming as our king. He's coming as the creator to the earth. You'd expect that this would be a big deal. You think about royal weddings or royal announcements or royal births. All of those things have a lot of pomp and circumstance surrounding them. Not here. It was in complete obscurity with lowly shepherds as the first audience, which is really a theme. I mean, that's a similar thing that happens at Jesus' resurrection. The first people announced to also did not have their testimony allowable in the court of law because of worldly reasons. That was a group of women who were announced that the Christ is risen. And because of cultural issues in that period of time, they wouldn't even be believed in a lot of settings. But Jesus, our God, tends to come down to the people and elevate people who are humble in their circumstances. He does it with the shepherds. He does it with women. He does it all throughout the scriptures. Secondly, we see that Christmas is about rescue and surrender. It's about rescue and surrender. Here's what I mean by that. In Luke chapter 2, verse 11, once again, it says, "Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." A Savior has been born to you. He's been given two titles here in this sentence. He is the Messiah, the Lord. The Messiah, it's the same word as Christ. It's actually Christ in the Greek, but that's a Greek word meaning Messiah. For the Jewish people, that's a long-awaited Savior, a long-awaited deliverer, somebody coming to rescue the people. Coming to rescue. They imagined it being a political rescue, coming to rescue them out of Roman bondage, out of Roman almost enslavement, or at least control. And yet Jesus came to rescue us in a much larger way than that. And so we see the Messiah, the Savior, coming, the rescuer. So Christmas is about rescue, but it's also, it doesn't stop there. It doesn't just call him the rescuer. It also calls him the Lord. It calls him the Lord. He doesn't want us to stop with rescuer. Now, the rescuer, the Messiah aspect is so, so important. When he's first announced in his ministry by his cousin, John the Baptist, he enters the scene and John announces his arrival by saying, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world." The idea of the Lamb of God was hearkening back to the current times of the temple sacrificial system. And at Passover, people would bring a sacrificial lamb and offer that lamb to God. And it was sort of a substitute sacrifice pointing forward towards the coming Messiah. Interestingly, these shepherds are out tending flocks of sheep in Bethlehem, not far from Jerusalem. A lot of scholars think they may have actually, especially if we're close on our timeline of when we celebrate Christmas to the actual birth of Christ, that they could have been tending the flocks that included lambs being prepared for Passover sacrifice. The Messiah, that is a vital part, the Savior, the rescuer. But another vital part is our surrender to our Lord, because he doesn't want to just be our Savior, our rescuer. He wants to be our Lord. He wants to be in charge. The reason he wants to be in charge is not just because he wants all the attention, he wants everything on him. It's also for our good. He's the creator. He knows what's for our good. I don't know if you've ever been to IKEA right around the corner from here. It's kind of what we're known for here in Canton for whatever reason across the state. People are like, "Oh, you're from Canton? Oh, IKEA. Yeah, I've been there." I'm like, "Yeah, me too." I try to avoid Ford Road at all costs, but IKEA is there. If you've ever bought anything from IKEA, you know that they like to make you feel accomplished, like you might actually almost be a carpenter when you buy a piece of their furniture, because there's enough assembly required. You're like, "I did it, yes." And no, it's actually a great place to get very affordable and nice quality stuff. I don't want to make an enemy of our neighbor. It's a great spot, but they give you a pretty detailed instruction manual. And if you've not bought something from IKEA and you're thinking about going now that I've given this great, endorsement here from the stage, you need to open the book of instructions. Let me just tell you that. You need to open it. You need to follow each direction and you need to do it in order. Why? Because they know what they're talking about and we really don't. We start looking at all these pieces, there's different size screws. You're like, "What goes where? I don't know." You gotta follow the directions, you gotta follow the order, because the person in best position to tell you how to do this is the person who created it. And that's what the situation is with God. He wants to be Lord of our life, not just because he wants to control everything and make us do what he wants us to do, but he wants to be in that position because it's also what's best for us. Our creator knows what's best for us. He's made us, even with certain desires in our heart. And so we follow him as our, not just our Savior, but also as our Lord. Third thing, Christmas is about heaven and earth. It's a collision course of heaven and earth. They've come together in this moment. Verse 14, "Glory to God in the highest heaven." This is a song that the angels sing, by the way. We think it's a song, or it could have been reciting praise to God. "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." It says a multitude of angels come out to say these things. Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests. So Christmas is this collision of heaven and earth, both in the sense of the divine plan intersecting with humanity, where God enters human flesh and actually lives among his creation, but also because it's for his glory and for our good, the glory of God in heaven and the good of people down below on earth. It's for his glory and for our good. So we can all use that peace that's announced here, I think, and unearth peace to those on whom his favor rests. How do we become those on whom his favor rests? Simply by saying yes to the offer that he gives us to receive him as our Lord and Savior. Peace is not a lack of issues or problems externally. Peace is something that's internal, that's wished to us or really pronounced to us in this psalm. There's a Stoic philosopher, Epictetus, who said, "While the emperor may give peace from war on land and sea, he is unable to give peace from passion, grief, and envy. He cannot give peace of heart for which man yearns more than even for outward peace." But we have a God who can give that peace, an emperor, a lord who can give that peace to us when we submit to him. There's a collision of heaven and earth, and he offers us the peace of heaven even as we go through the trials and struggles of earth. Fourth and finally, Christmas is about receiving and giving. You're like, I know that. We talk about that all the time. It's better to give than receive. We talk about presents, all of those good things. But in this case, it's a little bit different. We see in verse 16, which we've already read, "So they," the shepherds, "they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger." So they received this good news and they acted upon it. "When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." So they receive the good news, they respond to it, they see it, and then they share it, they give it away. And they go and they tell other people about what has happened. Christmas is about receiving and giving. To actually be able to give this gift away, we have to also have received it before. But once we know this Savior who came as a baby, as an innocent baby, as a helpless baby, and came to live a perfect life and die for us on our behalf, then it's also our responsibility and our privilege to give that away, to give that news away. So the shepherds did that. They heard the news, they went, they saw with their own eyes, and then they gave that news away. They shared it with other people. Now we're all somewhere on that journey. Because if you're in this room, you just heard the same proclamation that the shepherds heard, albeit not from angels, but you've heard it, that Jesus is born, and he's born for each one of us. So then, somewhere on that journey, whether the next step is investigation, going and checking this out for yourself, or maybe you've done that, and now it's time to go and share that news with other people, we can all find a place this Christmas to be encouraged and challenged in the midst of this season. Christmas is great, obviously, for so many reasons, but it really comes down to this good news for all people that we've been talking about. Good news about rescue and surrender, good news about heaven coming to earth, good news that's worth receiving and absolutely worth sharing with other people. Wherever you are, I encourage you to take that next step in your journey this Christmas. Let's pray. We'll close with some candlelight and a song. Lord Jesus, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you for this season that we can celebrate a God who cared enough to come to us. We think about climbing up to be with you, God. Oftentimes as human beings, this is where our minds naturally go, that we need to elevate ourselves to get to you. But no, you descended, you came down to be with us. Lord, help us to never take that for granted during Christmas season, during other seasons, that we would just always marvel at the fact that you came to be among us. We thank you for that truth. We thank you for that reality. We pray that you be glorified as we continue in our service. In Jesus' name, amen.